Yours is gone.
Hello and welcome to the Power Suits podcast, and welcome back to our power people, our power suit power people. As always, I am Francie and I am joined by the one and only Katie K. Hey, Katie.
Francie, how are you?
You know, I am not gonna lie, I am having a very interesting week. I'm having a very interesting week. Yes, Harlem, you want to join the podcast? How, and our third co-host for the day is our little princess Harlem. Yeah, you want to say hi to the people? They can't hear you. They can't hear you. You gotta say hi.
You
She's
have to
not
say,
into it.
not
She's
in.
like, I'm to be seen. She's like, I have
Yeah.
a face.
Like,
She's like, I don't have one of these face for radio. I have a face for television, Mom. Get me on the TV. I am made to be a star. How was your week, Katie?
was good. Other than when I left Florida, I got home. And I was convinced my car got stolen. So,
Well, wait. Stop. Okay, well, wait, let's rewind for everyone because first we're going to apologize. We're releasing this episode a little bit later than usual. And no excuse because Katie was actually with me all weekend. So we were actually together all weekend and just quite honestly, I have no other words except we just were lazy. I guess. I mean, we weren't. We did a lot of stuff, but we just didn't record when we were supposed to. We just didn't do it. Didn't
didn't.
happen. So Katie was with me all weekend. She missed Florida so much. She had to come back.
Week
And
later.
you, all right, but I'm gonna start with, did you fly to the correct airport?
This time I flew and went to the correct airport.
Okay.
So bonus points, I'm getting better.
Because that has been an issue in the past. So, okay,
At
we're at the right airport.
the
And now
airport,
what happened?
first mistake, never fly Spirit, but that's what happens when I leave it to last minute and the only flight I can get is Spirit. And then we
No,
had tons of
no, no. We
delays
no, no, no. We cannot
to
fly
Spirit.
here.
Like, it's not allowed on my list, but it was the only option. So it was something with like the plane, and there was an issue. So we're already like an hour and a half behind, which I'm flying super late at night. I wasn't supposed to leave till 7. I always land in Detroit and have a 2-hour drive after that. So it's always a long night, anyways. And it just kept getting delays and delays and delays and delays and delays. Then we get there. The power goes out on the plane twice as we've landed. So we're all got our flashlights on getting out. So as you can imagine, I'm exhausted.
Wait, the plane lands safely, gets to the gate, and then the power goes out.
Yes. So then we're all like, you got, this is an Orlando flight. You got kids, you got blankets, you
People are
got
probably screaming. There's probably children like screaming at
babies
this point.
screaming. I mean, it's Spirit, it's God. Anyways, so went through this whole process, get out there, and I always take a picture, as we all know with Katie, I forget everything. So I was like, take a picture of where my car is. And I go all the way down there, and my car was parked on a ramp. So it was like 2D up ramp F3 or something. Super flipping complicated. Whoever invented this damn parking lot,
So
anyway.
you're like between two and three, or between
Yeah.
one and two, or between.
Up ramp. And I do know that when I parked it, I was the very last car on the up ramp. So I know, like, in my head what it should look like. So I go there and I'm pulling out my phone and I
Are
know I'm
you in an
prepared.
actual parking spot? Or like, and I say that because at the Orlando airport, there's a lot of times where it's like parking full, but people make parking spots and you may or may not get towed. I don't know what the line is of who they tow and who they don't tow. So that is why I have to ask, were you in an actual parking spot?
Is it an actual parking spot?
Parking spot, excellent.
Was. And so then I go down there, I'm searching, I'm searching, I'm searching. Of course, it's freezing. I'm getting annoyed, I'm tired. And I'm like, where the heck is my car? My car got stolen. Like, just convinced. Like, my car is stolen. Then I was like, oh, I was the last one on the road. Maybe it got towed. Maybe it wasn't a, maybe I was like parked too far on the out. They moved it, yada, yada, yada. So I walk all the way up to the bridge and there's this guy running like the metro cabs. And he's like, I got this number. You can call this number. I sit there for an hour waiting for security to come with their pickup truck to drive me around to see if I'm crazy or in this case, I'm an idiot to see if we can find my car. So I get in the car and I like show the guy this picture and I'm like, I literally walked right up to this sign and my car is not there. And he goes, no, this happens all the time. And I'm like, what do you mean this happens all the time? So there's two ramps side by side, but you have to go all the way around the other side to see it that are named the same thing.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, are you kidding me? So at this point, it's like 1:30 in the morning. I got home at 3:15 a.m.
So your car was there and it was in the right spot. Yeah. There's just two spots named the same thing.
Exactly. And I literally said when I got in the car, listen, you can tell me if I'm like the biggest idiot on the planet. I know I'm blonde, you know, you can say the things you got to say. And he goes, this happens all the time. Like, could you have said that on the operator phone instead of like waiting another hour?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Couldn't they have just said when you said, hey, I can't find my car, and the guy, man could have said, yeah, it happens all the time. Or he could have said, you're an idiot and this is where you need to walk to. Or he could have, like, so you had to wait an hour for someone to come and basically drive you to where your car was. That
correct. If I spent the hour still searching.
What your car was where it was supposed to be.
Correct. And then I almost ran out of gas right when I got home because everything was closed. So by the time I got like to these like exits before my house, it's kind of like a lot of these gas stations aren't open. So I'm on 0 kilometers for like 15 kilometers, but I'm like 10 kilometers from home. So I'm praying and I'm like, just make it to a gas station, make it to a gas station.
Those are the moments where you turn like everything in the car off. Like there's no radio,
no
you
heat,
plug the phone. Nothing. No heat, no, like, you turn it all off being like, this is going to help me conserve gas to get to where I need to go.
Yeah. So that was my,
All right. So we had an interesting journey.
I would blame that as to the reason we didn't record, but realistically, we were just chilling.
We were just chilling because we did have a very eventful weekend, actually, and maybe we should rewind also. And I know this is the Power Suits podcast, and I'm going to talk about a bunch of things that maybe are not very business related, but I feel like the people would really want to know about the SWAT team raid scenario going down at my house on Thursday night, because we really haven't told anyone the story.
Except I totally for the forgot this night, happened.
Except for the following night. And we can then tell that part of the story. But Katie has been to my house. I live in like a relatively nice area. I mean, there's a golf course like through my backyard.
It's in a beautiful, beautiful area. And this story is even more exciting when you hear it now.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I live in a nice area. There's a lot of like, it's very diverse. Like there's retired people that live in my neighborhood. There's, you know, single people that are like me. There's young families. There's older families. Like it's variety. We live, there's a golf course. Literally, we all live around a golf course. Like it's a cool little like neighborhood area, which I was telling Katie, there's no HOAs, which is awesome because there's no like, you don't have to, they're not like your grass is 1/8 of an inch or you need to palm your tree, cut your palm trees or you're going to get fined. But everyone still in the area like takes care of their homes. So it's Thursday night around like 8 o'clock and Katie and I are just like sitting in the living room talking. I get up to go get a snack and I come back. And as I'm walking back, I can kind of see through the window, you know, and you see like blue and red lights. So I'm like, huh, what's going on outside? So we both are in my driveway. I'm eating my snacks, mind you, because I'd gotten my snacks. Like, which made it even better. I'm eating my peanut butter, my gluten-free peanut butter-filled pretzel bite snacks, eating my snacks. And it is not the house directly next to me, which I thought it was at first, which is an Airbnb house. The guy that bought it Airbnbs it out. It wasn't that house. So it's like the house immediately next to me is an Airbnb. Then there's like a little road, like a little turn. And then there's a house just on the other side of that road. And I'm like, it has to be that house, because I think at that point there was like four or five cop cars. We saw people outside. It looked like there was people either with their hands on the front of one of the cop cars. It looked like a guy and a girl that seemed like young, not young, like teenager young, but like
just underage or like just at age of drinking.
Yeah, like 20.
That was my initial thought. Like, they got caught for drinking and they're leaving the golf.
That's what we were thinking. Like, we couldn't really tell because it didn't look like there was a car anywhere. It didn't look like it did. It didn't look like somebody got pulled over. There was a guy walking around on his phone. There was but we couldn't really hear. We couldn't really see. Couldn't really tell what was going on. And so we're kind of watching for a little bit. Couldn't figure it out. We see people kind of like walk their dogs. I'm like, damn it, that's what we should have done. We should have walked the dogs and tried to figure out what was going on. So whatever. It's like now an hour later, we're in the 9 o'clock hour. So it's probably like 9:30 or so. And we both are kind of like, okay, we're going to go to bed. So Katie goes to bed. I go to bed. My bedroom is upstairs. And as I'm like getting ready for bed, I see kind of on my ceiling, which looks like police lights. So I look out my bedroom window. There's now double the amount of police cars. And there's now full on, I'm going to call them SWAT type police. I don't know what type of police they actually are, but they're pulling up in all black pickup trucks. And they are not like pulled into my driveway, but where there's like two tires up on what would be the sidewalk in front of my house and two tires still like in the street kind of. And it's one.
And then we're surrounded.
Huh?
At this point, we're surrounded.
Yeah, no, it's like one, then two, then three, then the street in front of my house, both sides is full of these like vests, and they're opening up their trucks and they're getting out like the things you knock the door down with. They're getting out giant guns. They're getting out club looking. I'm like, is there a war? Like, is there a war going on? Like, what is that? So at this point I come downstairs and I'm like, Katie, there's something going on. So I go outside because they're in my driveway at this point. So I walk outside and I'm like, hey, can you tell me like what's going on? Should I be like concerned of where I live or who my neighbors are? And he's like, I suggest you go back inside and stay inside. And I'm like, what's going on? And he was like, I just suggest you go back inside. And I'm like, oh, that's, I mean,
then the dogs came.
Yes. Then we see police sniffing dogs and we're like, what is happening? So I tell Katie that like, probably 6 months ago or so, in the middle of the day, something similar kind of happened. It was a little bit different, but something somewhat similar, where all these cops showed they were actually blocking the street, where that night they weren't blocking the street. But a few months ago, they were blocking the street and they had like the loudspeaker where they're like, we have your house surrounded. Come out with your hands up. And I said, after about like an hour or so, everyone just got in their car and left. And I was like, well, was somebody arrested? Like, what's going on? Is there a murderer living near? Like, what is happening? So now I'm like, this is almost the same thing happening again, but they're not like loudspeakering for anyone to come outside. I'm like scrolling Twitter, trying to see if I see any like tweets. I'm looking at like the Orlando PD.
Trying to be interested police officers. Like, we're like, we got you guys. We'll be dispatched back up.
Yeah, we're like, what is going on? And then I'm still just like, what is happening in my neighborhood? Like, what is actually happening in my neighborhood? So we're like watching all of this and we're like, okay, nothing's really happening. So then I go upstairs and I can see out my bathroom window, the house that I think it is, looks like there's police cars behind it too. So they're like in front of it, behind it. We've got like SWAT team. And then like the neighbor that lives on the other side of me, there's cop cars all in front of his house. He's not even home. So I'm like, I couldn't like run over to his house and be like, what do you think's going on? Like nothing. We got nothing here. So I'm like looking out the window. We're like, all right, I guess we're going to go back to bed. I keep like looking out the window, checking, because I can see out like my bathroom window, my bedroom window. I have a couple windows in my bathroom, so I can see out the different windows. I can see out my bedroom window. All of a sudden, everyone just leaves. They all just leave. And we're like, we have no, like, what happened? So I'm scrolling. I find there's this website where you can see like police calls. It'll give you the call, like if there was somebody that called like 911 or called the police department, what the call was for. And then not like the house address, but it'll be like 400 block of this street or 500 block of this street to give you like an estimate of where it is. So I see where it was on the 400 block of the street that I live on, and I'm in the 300 block. So that 400 block would be like just past where I live. And I see where it said, hang on, I'm going to read it because we don't report false news on Power Suits podcast here. So it said threats, assaults, armed. So our suspicion, my suspicion was somebody called in and was like, my boyfriend or husband, and I don't know why I'm saying it's the boyfriend, or it could be my girlfriend, my wife, it could be whatever, called and was like, I'm my partner, whatever, has a gun and is threatening like to kill me.
I think it was probably like an argument that escalated. They would have maybe left at that point, and then he probably,
and somebody has a gun,
or she or someone was pissed that the police were called in the first place, and then it escalated.
So that's what were things going on. Whatever.
Change conspiracy. We don't know.
So Friday night, Katie and I decide we are going to go out to dinner, and we are just sitting at the bar and happen to meet these lovely people who are sitting right next to us at the bar. We just make friends. And one of our new friends happens to be a police officer. And now I'm like, you need to tell me what was going down at my neighbor's house last night. And the person was like, oh, I wasn't there, but I think I heard about it. And then proceeds to tell me, we're fairly confident that the house near me, because it's not my direct neighbor, it's a few doors down, is owned by someone in this area that is known to be a drug dealer and owns multiple properties around the area.
13 properties, like all around Orlando.
All, and like some of them in like the nicest areas of Orlando. And I'm like, this is wild. And she's like, I know exactly what happened. There was probably some kind of a thing. Somebody got called. They knew he was there. And right, because when you know, it's like you always see in movies or TV shows or whatever, you know that somebody has done something, but
you need a reason to grab them.
You need a reason to actually catch the person. And if somebody is buttoned up on everything they're doing, right? And we see it all the time in movies of like, what is the thing? So that's why she said a lot of times they'll wait. And I said, and then they all just left. And she was like, yeah, let me guess. They were there for like an hour and a half to 2 hours. And I was like, yes. She was like, yeah, because after a certain point, there's either, they either can't find anything or they don't have reason to enter the, like whatever it is, they don't have anything or can't get anything, or there's no way to proceed forward. And I'm just like, that is wild. That is why. And I mean, I'm like, now that I think about it, I was telling Katie when I lived in downtown Orlando, I lived in a penthouse and my neighbors were raided by like the DEA and FBI one
always
night.
Always nice neighborhoods, always.
Which was like, that was a wild, because that was wild, and they were there to get that. Like, there wasn't a, we're trying to like whatever. It was like the DEA and FBI in my hallway. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to catch a stray bullet through my wall. And they were nice. They were great neighbors. Like, I have a problem. My thing's like, they're all, I'm very like, I'm not trying to be in your business if you're not trying to be in my business. Like, I don't have a problem with you if you don't have a problem with me.
The cash underneath your mat every week, that wasn't just magic. That was planned.
Right? It's like, I keep manifesting abundance and money just flowing my way, and then cash just appears under my front doormat. I don't know. It's my manifestation paying off. But it was wild. So that was wild. Nothing, no new developments with the neighbors. So that'll now be probably an ongoing thing. Every few months, something will probably happen over there, and I'll keep you posted. Katie and I also went to LIV Golf this weekend.
Good.
Which Katie had no idea what it was. She had no idea where we were going, no idea what we were doing. She just had something to do with
the border guy. When I crossed the border, he was like, "What are you going to do?" And I was like, "I'm going to a golf event. It's called LIV Golf." And he goes, "Do you play golf?" Really? No, I'm going to spectate. He's like, "Do you like someone that should have been
like, yes, I'm a platinum, I don't even know what it's called. I'm a platinum medallion gold star member of Top Golf. Clearly, yeah. I play golf."
Exactly. I do have a platinum Top Golf membership. That I have.
You should have been like, "Yes, I play, and I'm platinum, sir. Can you not tell by looking at me? Hello.
Please let me in your country. I would like to go continue my golfing activities.
I need to maintain my platinum status, okay? If I don't play every so often, my status will decline to gold, and I cannot go to gold from platinum. I must maintain platinum, okay? So just let me in so I can maintain my platinum status."
We'll still ding my credit card the same way, but in my head, I'm getting better.
So I'm like, "Katie," months ago, "Katie, LIV Golf is coming to town. Should we go?" And she's like, "I'm in." And I didn't really ask, like, "Do you know anything about golf? Do you watch golf? Do you even know what LIV Golf is?" I didn't ask her any questions. I just said, "Do you want to go?" And she said, "I'm in." So I'm like, "Great, we're going. It'll be great." So then as we're getting like closer now, Katie's here and we're like going, I'm like, "Do you know anything about golf? Do you know anything about LIV Golf?" And she's like, "I have no idea what we're going to." So I took Katie to her first golf experience. I will tell you, those of you that are familiar with golf probably know exactly what LIV Golf is. Those of you that are not familiar with golf, most people are familiar with it, especially if you live in North America, you're familiar with the PGA Tour. And the PGA Tour is like the traditional brand of like golf. It is all like the big tournaments. It is, you know, Masters at Augusta, which is like when you win the Masters, you get your green jacket. It's like one of the most prestigious things. Like the four big majors are in the PGA. That has been like the golf, the brand of golf. If you want to become a professional golfer, you're trying to get your PGA players card. And then like basically how it works is every different tournament, so many players start, then so many players make it to, you know, the actual final round. And then you make money based on where you end. So you make money based on how you play. The best golfers in the world obviously make a lot of money. Then they obviously get endorsements, all that fun stuff. Well, LIV Golf came out and it was highly controversial of like who was going to go play at LIV Golf, who wasn't going to go play at LIV Golf. It is Saudi backed. So there was a lot of players that are still on PGA Tour now that were very vocal of like, it's not golf and it's not the traditional thing and you can't go join it. And like very vocal about everything that Saudi Arabia stands for. And they're just trying to use, you know, sports and do this sports like washing of their brand. So, you know, the World Cup was just in the Middle East. And that was just like a huge thing that they said, like they basically bought the World Cup to be in the Middle East and used that as like a whitewashing to bring people there and have that experience. And like, they're trying to basically use sports to like, I don't want to say cover their crimes, but I don't know a better way to basically say it. So
Ronaldo went there.
Yeah. So it's just that whole aspect that there's a lot of people that are very not in support and not vocal. And I think that is totally fine. And you can feel that way. And you are entitled to that opinion. then there's clearly golfers that did go to LIV Golf. And a lot of those golfers that went are of the opinion of, because the difference is with like the PGA, a lot of the tournaments are Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And they play all, I mean, not all the players play all day, but the tournaments are basically all day because you have your first team that starts, they start at the first hole, and then they play through. Where LIV Golf is 3 days. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a shotgun start. So you have a threesome. They play in threesomes on each hole when you start. So they start in the afternoon and it only takes a few hours for the actual whole tournament to get played. So a lot of the golfers, and in one of the interviews, I know Dustin Johnson, who was given millions of dollars just to go. That's the other thing, is a lot of golfers are getting paid just to play LIV Golf. And then they win money if they win, and it's team. So you're playing as a team and an individual. But a lot of them were like, I'm a professional golfer and you basically want to pay me more money for me to have to work less.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the players. We basically saw everyone that you would want to see, which if I asked Katie if she could name me the golfers that she saw.
Bubba Watson. The one we didn't say, see.
Bubba Watson's the only one we didn't see, Katie. Bubba Watson was the only one.
I will never forget that name, Bubba. Me and Bubba go way back.
Bubba Watson was like the one golfer we didn't see. But from an experiential standpoint, like, so remove the politics out of it, remove like everything. And I just think from an experiential standpoint, because I have been to other PGA tournaments, I have been to the Masters before. The experience was just, it was a lot more fun.
Yeah.
For me, that, and I told Katie, like, so there's music playing pretty much throughout the whole course. They have speakers pretty much set up. There really wasn't a time where you couldn't hear music playing, which is so non-traditional when it comes to the game of golf, which, like, that was wild to me. Where we actually were watching from was called the Birdie Shack, which ironically, only one person made a birdie on the hole we were on for the entire day. So there was not many birdies that happened outside of the Birdie Shack. But there was a full bar. There was a DJ spinning tunes nonstop. It wasn't like, oh, in between golfers will play music. So there was like music going the whole time. You could go down and like actually walk out and like stand on the ropes on the green. Then you could come back up. It was in the shade. There was, you know, pretty easy access to get drinks. Kind of behind it, there was a concession stand. Like, it was just.
And I'm like naive Nelly. Like, I'm naive Nelly. Like, this is great. I love golf. Like, this is.
And she's like, let's go to golf every weekend.
Going to golf every weekend. And Francie's like, this is not normal golf.
Right. I was like, this is so not like. Normally, it's like when the golfers are coming through, there's people that are holding up like signs and they're like, shh, shh, like telling everyone to be quiet because the golfers are coming. And this is just like music's playing, people are talking. Like, it's just like,
what an experience.
Do you remember what their slogan is? Because I was like, their slogan is so perfect because it's LIV Golf.
Yes.
No, golf, golf, but louder.
Yes.
And I was like, it perfectly explains, like, from a business and a branding standpoint, I think they really have nailed it. From, they got some of the best golfers in the world to come play for them, right? So they have names that people will go watch. It's a ton of fun. Like, Katie pretty much didn't know anything that was going on or what we were watching or what anything on the scoreboard meant at any time throughout the whole thing. And I was trying to explain it, but I'm also like, I mean, who cares? Like, it's just fun. Like, you could have fun not knowing anything about
what everyone else clapped, booed when anyone else booed, you know, I know how to blend, but I didn't know what was going on.
You just follow along, which was a very cool experience. I thought, again, all like politics and everything aside, I've been to a handful of golf tournaments. So I just wanted to experience what LIV Golf had to offer and like what it was all about, especially because it's been so talked about too. So I just kind of wanted to see what the experience was like and how it differs. And I thought, they had a well put together experience.
It was also really, which I don't know, maybe you can talk to, like, age friendly. Like, they had that whole kids area. Like, I don't know if other golf
like and I that, will but... say, like, I will say from golf tournaments I've been to, obviously I don't have children, so it's not always the first thing that I notice. I will say when I went to the Masters, there is sure as shit nothing at the Masters for children, right? Like, it is the most, like, aren't even allowed to bring a cell phone in when you go to the Masters. Now, the Masters, that's Augusta, so that's just a little bit different of an experience. I do think the PGA is trying to do more things to be more fun, bring people out. When the PGA was here, there was a golf tournament here in Orlando. I think that's when they had like Paris Hilton DJ. Like, so they're trying to like do other events around it that are fun. But no, that was the other thing. They set up this whole like fan zone that I don't really remember seeing at a golf tournament in a while, where they had we didn't do any of that, but where they had all these different like simulators, contests, things you could do. They had a whole
entire
area.
Yeah.
Like jungle gym, golf stuff, swing, and I do think they are really trying to make it a family-friendly environment where there is a ton of stuff. I will say from like another from branding perspective, they had a ton of, which maybe we'll have to repost them on our social when we drop the episode, but like places where you could take cool social media type pictures, like that said LIV Golf or like a giant golf ball that said, and they had a ton of them all over the course that made for like really cool photo ops and I think like branding opportunities. Getting in and out was very like just every like flow of everything I thought was very, now we were a little bit late, but getting in and out was pretty easy. I was gonna say there was no line to get in, but maybe that's because we got there a little bit after the tournament started, so maybe that had something to do with it. Parking was a bit suspect. But I think that's kind of the scenario almost with any, like, we were parked in the wilderness and I was like, am I going to get out of this parking lot? But overall, I thought it was a great experience. And I think just from all politics aside, a business standpoint, they're trying to do something with golf and I think they're trying to make it more fun. And I think there's a lot of golf events, Katie, I could have taken you to, where you probably would have been pretty mad at me because you would have been like, this is not fun, right? Like and I think a lot of golf tournaments, if you're not into golf and you're not into who are the players and you don't know the story of who you're seeing and who's coming through, it is not fun. Now, if you're into golf, like then it's a ton of fun because you know who the people are. But if you're not into it, it's hard to have a good experience, where I feel like from a business standpoint, they're smart because they're making it fun for people that don't know what's going on. They're still making it an enjoyable experience for people that are really into golf. And yeah. I think that's kind of the line that they've done a very good job, is they've figured out, how do we take people that are really into golf and still make this enjoyable? How do we make people that maybe are not as into golf and this is enjoyable? And then how do we also create different experiences for people that are maybe at different financial levels to have better experiences? And I think they've done a very good job at that. And I will also just say, because I was the one that ended up buying the tickets, the amount of surveying and post-event questioning I've gotten is like crazy. But they're really smart about it, because instead of sending me a very long like
questionnaire,
it's been coming in like, hey, we'd love your feedback about like the event. And then I got a separate one about like food and beverage. Then I got a separate one about like the hospitality experience. And so I've gotten like separate ones where I could see like if those were all together in one, somebody probably wouldn't have completed them, but they've made them like really short and simple and easy. But they've definitely collected a lot of data and gotten a lot of like feedback. That's what Harlem has to think, has to say.
Harlem wants to give some feedback.
He's like, hey, I do want to be on the podcast now and I do want to be vocal. So Princess Harlem speaks. She does not agree with form. She does not agree with collecting data. She wants to keep her data private. And that is what she has to say about that. So that was our adventure.
I almost forgot everything we did in a weekend.
We did a lot. We did a lot in a weekend. So let's get into some of our, we'll cover some of our topics. There's someone I want to talk about, and there's two different pieces that I want to talk about, this person. And I want your feedback. And this is now a little bit of old news, but I did want to talk about it because I think it's important. There was recently an individual that had been doing a lot of different like podcasts and interviews. And if I said to you, Katie, mm-hmm. or anyone, let's say I publicly on this podcast, we got into like, what do you eat in a day or what is your diet plan? And I said, oh, well, I do intermittent fasting. And usually in the morning when I wake up, I only have coffee. And then I'll eat like lunch and a really light dinner. And then maybe you're like, okay, well, what do you eat for lunch? What do you eat for dinner? And then I get into what I actually eat. And I'm like, well, I only have black coffee and water before lunch. For lunch, I typically drink bone broth. That's typically what my lunch consists of. And then for dinner, I follow paleo, which is mostly all vegetables and, you know, some kind of small amount of protein. And that's what I eat in a day. And I try to exercise for at least an hour every single day. And
I mean, I basically do intermittent fasting and don't mean to. So that part check. But whatever else is going on there, bone broth, that sounds awful.
So I probably sound like I'm hungry and I'm starving and I have a problem.
Sounds like you have like an actual.
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow went on a podcast and that is what she basically eats in a day. And there's been a lot of people like talking about this in different ways. Personally, I'm like, she got to be hungry. Second, I'm like, I feel like we're trying to get into a place of like, you know, healthy. I always walk a line with like positive body image because I always hear like Jillian Michaels like yelling in my head like about the obesity problem. Like, you know, people like, I don't want to body shame anyone, right? But I think there's a difference of like, I know that Jillian is like hardcore on like being healthy and being fit and like not overeating. And it's not about being thin, but that, you know, obesity is a problem and it creates, you know, issues with heart disease and like all these other things. But I think literally Gwyneth Paltrow promoting like bone broth and broccoli is like, I feel like it's a little extreme and it's like a little bit of the wrong message to be putting out there.
When you're on a pedestal, like that's a dangerous message to put, even if that is your diet. I mean, think before you speak because of the people who do look up to you and maybe your body responds to it and you're perfectly healthy because of it. Like there could be so many what ifs in that. But when you're a public figure and you're saying that that's what you eat and you look the way you do, and she does look great, that's not, you know, there's little girls who look up to her and it's not spreading the right image. Right. So, I mean, I'm on both sides of it because you can get made fun of because you're skinny. You can get made fun of because you're too big. It's like at the end of the day, everybody just needs to be healthy.
Right.
When you have a platform, you need to watch what you say and watch how you say it.
And she's also, you know, not that I'm the biggest.
Isn't she the one? Yeah, isn't she like the super like.
Yes. That's So like she has
supernatural.
Her website Goop is like all about all the like healthy detoxing, like all that stuff. And that's where I'm just, for me, it's very brand confusing. Right. And like, I understand too, like everyone eats differently. Everyone goes through different things. Everyone tries different things. I'm a big intermittent fast person. I feel like millennials, my generation of millennials made intermittent fasting a thing because we just don't eat breakfast. And so we were like, let's make it a cool thing and whatever.
Have a word like, for it.
I've never really been a bit, which is odd. I love breakfast foods. Now I don't because I don't eat gluten, but like pancakes, waffles, French toast, all the unhealthy breakfast foods, like sign me up. But I never really, growing up, I was never like a breakfast person. Like I've just never really been hungry usually when I wake up in the morning. So I am a big coffee, water, don't eat until lunchtime. So, you know, I don't think, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. It's just wild to me of what her brand represents. And part of me is like, okay, eating lunch and eating dinner, that's fine. But it's like, I almost feel like when she led with, I often eat bone broth and then for dinner, a lot of vegetables. I feel like there should have been more added to that because bone broth doesn't have that much calories in it. Vegetables have hardly any.
Yeah, vegetable has nothing. It's water. So like, what is in bone broth? I'm going to Google this while you're talking. What the hell is in
bone broth? It is supposed to be very healthy. It's supposed to like help with, I think, collagen and like it is supposed to be very good for you. But I know a lot of people like will drink bone broth, just like drink bone broth. That's not like for a meal, they don't have bone broth. So I think that's like wild.
Yeah, protein in it, apparently.
Yeah, like it's a lot of protein. I don't think there's a ton of calories in it. I could be very mistaken. But I know she ended up on, so she was also just on trial, which I think is why she kind of was doing a little bit of media to probably, you know, combat being not combat, but, you know, get out there and talk a little bit. And she ended up winning and was awarded like $1 because she wasn't looking for any damages. But it was all about this. Allegedly, this guy was suing her because she allegedly ran into him coming down a ski slope and like took off and he was injured. Part of me is like, yeah, because she heard they were giving away free pizza at the lodge. So her ass was hauling down the mountain because she hungry. She hungry and she ran into you.
A bone broth is not cutting it. So she's like, everyone out of the way.
Free pizza, move, get out the way. I am hauling ass to the lodge for my free pizza. Thank you. End of story. But the interesting thing to me, she ended up, that was not the case. She did not get charged with anything. She ended up winning the countersuit. Two things I wanted to talk about with this. One is, I think back to like the Johnny Depp Amber Heard, and I'm like, can you really put A-list, top of the line actors and actresses on trial because these people know how to act?
Literally. They are professional actors.
They're professional. And I'm not saying she did anything wrong. I'm not saying Johnny Depp. I'm not saying any of these people did anything wrong. I'm just saying these people know how to act. They know how to know what is the role I need to play. What do I need to convey? What do I need people to believe and how to do it? Because that's how they've literally made a name, a brand, millions of dollars. And then we put them on and they win their cases. And we're like, they did nothing wrong. And it's like, but did they, or are they just phenomenal actors and actresses?
I don't believe any trial on how it goes down. Because I'm always like, they're professional. They know what they're doing. I don't believe it. I'm like, something skewed here, and not specific cases. I'm just saying any actor involved in any trial, it's like, I don't believe a word out of your mouth.
And ever. Like, And then I'm like, should there be something? And again, I'm not saying any of the outcome came out wrong. I'm just like, it is wild to me that that's what they do for a career. So that I just wanted to get your thoughts on, because I think that is wild. The second thing I wanted to talk about is her leaving the courtroom and deciding to stop and say to the gentleman that lost that she ended up winning, and he had, I think damages were like a dollar. And she literally stopped and said, "I wish you well." And something about it, just unpopular opinion here, I think, rubbed me really the wrong way.
I mean, I think it's Gwyneth being Gwyneth. I think that's her being her. I don't know too much. Like, I know she does a lot of like wooey health natural
food. But it was just like, you won the case. The man, I don't know if he was injured or not injured. I don't know who ran.
She didn't make him like pay damages. Good on her.
Right. Like, it was just like, I want my name cleared.
Yeah.
It was just
the way in which it was said.
And you've got to go find the video, because it looked, to me, it just looked so unnatural. Yeah. I don't know. And that's where I was like,
well, that's when you have to start thinking, like, when are the PR people involved? When are the crisis management people involved? Was she told to do that if she were to win? And what was she told to do if she didn't win? Right? And if it felt unnatural, then it probably was. And she didn't really want to be going up and saying it. And that's like crisis management and PR people. I mean, they change the public vision.
That's what they do. That is their job.
That's their job. But it's, you know, so it's funny how like I'm really good and you're also really good at just like knowing when something's off. So if you could feel it from like, we don't know Gwyneth and we're just watching this video, then that's interesting.
My thing is like, maybe I put too much of my own, like how I would feel about it. You sue me because I ran into you and you're saying I leave. Then in this trial, we find out you maybe ran into me. Nobody left early, like whatever. I don't know that I tell you I wish you well. I don't know that I tell you anything. I think I just get up and leave the courtroom. And then I think maybe in an interview, I say, when I'm asked, because you know there's going to be questions, I say maybe I have no hard feelings and I wish him nothing but the best. But I don't know that I walk over to him to specifically say, I wish you well, or I wish you the best, or I wish you anything. Because I'd probably in that moment would be like,
peace, I'm out.
I wish you a bunch of negative things for wasting a lot of my time, energy, effort, and money. Even though I have it to spend, you've wasted it all. So I wish you no well. I wish you unwell. Unwell wishes to you, my friend. No bone broth for you.
She starts a food bank on the corner of the judge, handing out bone broth. No, I think it's just PR teams being PR teams, and I don't know like enough about Gwyneth to like make a whole statement, but she's not really my vibe anyways. Now she eats bone broth. Like, have a cheeseburger. These are my thoughts, and I don't care.
Like I said, when I heard that, I was like, she may have run into him and she may have left to go get a snack at the lodge. And that might really have been what went down. I don't know if the interview came until after the trial. I just know those were like two things that I was hearing a lot of clips on and seeing on the internet. And I was just like, wild, which is like not necessarily fit. Maybe the wishing well is fitting with the brand, but it seemed unnatural. But and like the eating, it just, it seemed, it just seemed like a very odd statement to kind of be putting out into the world. So that's why I wanted to bring it up on here. I know you had an interesting thing. I think this should be our last topic because you had an interesting one to discuss.
You're going to do France?
Yes. I think okay. We should talk about this. And then I think the other things we can probably save until our next episode.
We'll save those for France. Save those in Paris. That's what
well, I think we'll right. We'll save those for in France, but we should talk about what France is doing now and then see what we see when we're over there.
We'll do some investigations for you guys. So we saw this thing, which some of you may or may not have seen, but in France, they're planning on banning filters, which the more I thought on this, I was like, okay, we live in a digital world. I can understand in many ways, there is OnlyFans. There is just influencers in general. There's that side of it. There's the side of it where influencers are promoting, I get clean skin from this face wash, but they have a filter on. I wear this mascara, but I have an eyelash filter on. Like there's so many ways like we could keep going about it. And
my pores disappear. My wrinkles,
everything's gone. And like we all use filters. Like my face that everybody sees is not my face that they see on Instagram. Sorry, not sorry. Shameless about it.
I will say this. I do think everyone uses filters. I think though there is a degree in which there's a different degree in which filters are used too, which is right. Also like hard because I personally, for as much time as I spend on the internet, like I'm an Instagram, it's like, if it's going on my story, it's like, it's a Paris filter and that's it. I don't find another filter. Like it's a swipe to a Paris filter. Which is like not that, but there's other people that are like, there's the level of like filtering, editing, filtering, downloading, uploading, refilter. Like, so there's filter on top
double
of
Paris.
Right. There's the actual, you know, we all talk about the we talk all the time about the Kardashian Photoshop fails that it's like, how can you really be this bad at Photoshopping or the people on your team this bad? Like, I don't understand. So there is also a varying, varied degree of filtering.
And these people are also making millions off products. So that's to be said as well. But then it brings me back to like, so basically they're trying to ban and put a stop to filters being used. I from what I had read, it's for marketing purposes. Obviously, if you live in Paris and you take a picture, I'm sure you're still allowed to filter. Don't quote me on that, but it's more about the marketing sides of things.
Well, it was saying, I think they're trying to go along the lines of, do you remember the movement where people had to start putting ad?
Yes.
Right. So I think they're trying to go along the lines of like,
partnership.
It has to say filtered or photo altered or like, yeah. Basically so people know, okay, this is an ad. And I might really like my broken cell phone cover. I might really like this cell phone cover and I might really love it. But there's a difference of me talking about how much I love my cell phone cover and you should buy one if I'm being paid to tell people that I love my cell phone cover versus, right? So like that was the movement that happened a few years ago where people have to put #ad or advertisement or partnership with so people know it's an ad. And I think now France is trying to move towards, I don't know if it would say this photo's been filtered or what filter or it's been altered, but disclosing basically.
Yeah. I have like probably a super unpopular opinion to this because everyone would be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like we should do it. But to me, it's hurting the lower end. I don't want to say lower end. It's hurting the lower end market, as in the influencers that are successful, but they're not like Kendall Jenner. And when, for example, modeled for so many years of my life and every single modeling photo of me does not look like me. The reason it does not look like me is because photos are always filtered and those are being used for campaigns and being shot and blown up and put on billboards. And so has always existed. So if we're not hurting the Pradas of the world and we're not hurting the Louis Vuittons of the world, why do we have to be going after the little influencer or the smaller influencer against the big brand? Because you can't tell me to this day that when you go and do a shoot for Prada, they are not using Photoshop on you, because they 100% are. To a worse degree, I think a filter is not as harmful. You can probably still kind of see what's going on. Yes, there's filters, there's apps, there's Facetune. Like, now you can do a lot on your phone.
I agree with you almost. Some of the new filters, like the bold glamour one on TikTok.
Yeah.
That filter, I'm a different person and I need to go to the plastic surgeon. And like, when I use that filter, right? And like, this is getting into a whole other conversation of like that filter is creating, people are going to start committing suicide or like doing crazy shit because of how bad you feel about yourself when you take that filter off. Like, and it, you know, I'm sure there's going to be more, right? AI is only becoming a bigger and bigger thing, but it's like, I do agree. Yes, photos are always retouched.
I think it needs to be an industry standard. I don't think it needs to be a social media, let's go after the influencers who don't have big marketing money and people behind them and professionals editing these photos. Like, it's a double standard. Because I will tell you, in professional modeling, they don't like my mole, they remove my mole. They don't like this. Like, they didn't like that my nose was 1/4 of an inch to the left. They literally, with a little dot, move it. Like, my hip wasn't perfect, moved. Like, it's disgusting to actually watch. Like, that I would watch that as a child, as like a teenager, that someone was just constantly click, 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 morph, 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 morph my body, blow it up, and they're making millions of dollars on. So why don't we not make this an industry standard? Why do we have to use? It's because filter is a buzzword. So we're going to use the word filter, but the only people that hurts are the little guys.
Are those influencers. I do think, you know, and that, like, there was the huge controversy. I don't know if you saw this. This is probably like 2 months ago now on TikTok, where Michaela, who's a huge influencer, like, people were pissed because she was doing a sponsorship with, I think it was L'Oreal, for their, did they have the telescope mascara? And basically was like, oh, I'm putting it on, whatever. Like, oh, look how great this looks. Hang on, I'm going to go do another coat. Camera stops, camera comes back. She does a few more, like, had done a few more coats, whatever. People are like, she put on fake eyelashes. Then it was like, people were like, I can't believe anything she says. She's a liar. Then there was other people say, and like, I don't know. I'm not Michaela. I, quite frankly, if she did put on fake eyelashes, she did like individually placed it. Like, she didn't put a row of like lashes on. We all know what that looks like. And that's not what that looked like. And people are like, you can't make your eyelashes duplicate, but like, I can. And I'm not saying, like, she obviously knows how to do makeup like way freaking better than I do. But if I don't have anything on my eyes and I don't curl my eyelashes, you can't tell I have long eyelashes. If I curl them in a specific way, if I use, you know, my mascara a certain way, if I use a separator tool, like, they look different than what you would think they look like. So I know there's tricks to getting your lashes to look good without using fake lashes, but everyone was like, she put on fake lashes. And it was like, then it was, she just didn't address it. And she just came back and was doing other video. And part of me was like, good for you. Who gives a shit? Like, who literally gives a shit? But it's like, we come after some people for some things. We don't go after other people. We don't care if they filter. Other people do. And it's like,
I think it's because that, like, that's why it's even question is because of, think about TikTok, think about the hate comments, think about the messaging, like, that goes on. So the mass buzz is, well, let's crack down on filters. But then don't tell me, like, when a gym is doing a campaign, they don't go, they literally will hire the girl with rock solid abs to take the picture, but she doesn't go to the gym. You'll never see her in that gym. She's being paid to take a picture. So right. It's like, it's just, it can
or
go
that
all
girl
the way back.
With abs doesn't even work out because she's just genetically blessed and looks great.
Yes.
I don't know, but
that's yeah. Or honestly, do you know how many times I've seen with airbrushing and they airbrush the abs with the tanner, and then when they're editing that photo, they go in and they like slice those lines more and they just add more shadow. Like I've literally witnessed all that
oh,
happen.
Yeah, you can literally
create
airbrush
abs,
spray tan
airbrush.
abs on. Yeah, it's just, it's contouring. It's spray tan contouring to me, you know. Now, you can't do it on somebody that has a keg belly. That's not going to work. But yes, it's so, it's just.
You could. It just wouldn't look right.
Would not look right. Would not look right. So it's just, it's like wild. And I feel like, I personally don't think it's going to end up being a industry standard. But what I predict seeing is brands become making brand standards of brands choosing, like, okay, we're going to hire influencers or models or actresses or whoever to do whatever. And this is like the standard of what we will allow and not allow. And I think it's going to become, you know, obviously France is going to do what they're going to do, but I could see brands standardizing what they accept and don't accept. The only problem is, I don't think, unless a brand truly decides to like go for a completely untouched, unfiltered, whatever, which I don't see a brand doing, I don't see a brand really publicizing this is what our standard is. But I think if a brand did, they would probably get people that would support them because of that, if it was the right type of brand and if their products really stood up, right? Like, that's the other piece. You've got to have, if you're going to be in like makeup, skincare, health, fitness, right? And one of those categories where people are really looking at that result, teeth whitening, right? Like, whatever it is, if that product really stands up on its own, if I was in a business and I had one of those brands and that product did that, I would probably be like, you know what? This is the marketing move we need to make of like, our brand promise is like no altered, filtered material.
Yeah.
And I would double down on that.
Doesn't work.
Huh?
But they won't, because half this shit doesn't work.
And that's what I'm saying. The product would have to like stand up to be able to do that. But that's what I'm saying. And obviously I'm not in any of those businesses, but like, if I had a product that did that, that's where I would. But it's even like, even to go a step further, like food used in advertising isn't actually food.
Exactly.
McDonald's. Painted. Yeah. Harlem doesn't like that. She's like, no, if there's going to be food, it needs to be real food, but like, it's not. So it's like, that's just like the craziness. That is our world.
I don't think it'll ever stop. And I think it has to start from the top down, like with anything in fashion. And the irony is that they're starting it in France. Like, to me, that's just hilarious.
Well, see, I think that makes sense, because I think the French, and you know what? We'll discuss this.
Ask them.
We'll discuss this. It'll probably be not our next podcast, the podcast after that, because we're going to France next week. So we'll be releasing an episode next week. Then we'll be recording when we're in France for the following week. That's what I'm trying to say here. The French women tend to wear a lot less makeup and do a lot less than American women, even I think women in the UK. So I'm gonna observe that when we're over there, but I think it does make sense, because if culturally you're not as, you know, makeup, hair, perfect and you have more of a natural vibe, then to me that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I don't think they've actually looked at the scope of the problem. And 90% of those fashion brands are the problem, in my opinion.
But the fashion brands also aren't the one hiring influencers that are on social media. So the issue, wherever the issue is lying for France to come up with this, something else must have happened culturally or in France or whatever that had to do with more of like something that's happening on social media for it to be about influencers. That I don't know, but we'll do some deductive research while we are.
A lot of FBI skills now after watching what we thought was a raid go down. Was not a raid.
Was not a raid. It was a, we're trying to make it a raid, and it was not. I think that is going to wrap up our episode for this week, and we'll save some of our other topics and things for next week's show. But I will update everyone quickly because we talked about it last week. I will not be moving forward with this reality TV show opportunity. I did decide to pass. I left the door open a little bit because I was like, basically just kind of said, I don't think I can commit to the schedule to be able to give it everything that I would want to give it. But if you need any, I was kind of like, if you need any help or you need any like additional people to come in for, you know, I can't remember how I said it, but almost like a friend of or whatever, I was like, I'd be more than willing, but I don't think I can, you know, commit to be a full-time cast member.
And she's out.
So there is no, even though everyone's response was, you should do it. You should do it. You should do it. Oh my God.
I'm going to send you a TikTok when we're done here. And it was Bethany Frankel was doing her. Did I ever tell you guys how I got on the Housewives?
I watched it.
And she was literally like, I didn't know if this was going to be a thing at all because it was going to be New York moms or something. Manhattan moms.
Yes.
A mom. And then she made a really good line and I was going to send it to you, like quoting that. And it was, if it sucks, no one will know. And if it takes off, then everyone will know.
She said that. And she also said, the difference is though, when she started, there wasn't social media like there is today.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that wasn't around. So truly no one would know because there wouldn't have been like anywhere to put anything, promote anything, like whatever. Right. It wouldn't have been like, oh, I'm tagged in something and I need to share it on my social media. And then people are like, what it like, there was no social media. Cause I did think about that. I was like, yes, but it's also a totally different time. The other thing she said that made me be like, I made the right choice is she was like, everyone told her not to do it. And something was just like, I think I should do it. And you have to be responsible for your own business decisions. And it was funny because I was like, in this case, everyone was like, you should be on reality TV. You should do it. You should do it. Oh my God. Yes. You have to do it. And I was just like, something just wasn't like clicking for me. Like something was just like, this isn't the right thing. And so I was like, okay, maybe I am justified because everyone's telling me I should do it. And I feel like something is just not jiving.
Okay. We'll apply you for the Bachelorette.
Bachelorette. Here we come. All right. We will see all of you next week on our next episode of the Power Suits podcast. And if there's any topics you want us to discuss, make sure you can send them to Katie or myself. You can send them to us on Instagram and we will discuss them on the pod. And make sure you leave us a 5-star review, leave us a comment, share, tell your friends about it. Thank you all for joining us and we will see you next week.